Good morning, church. It says in Matthew 21, verse 1, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. Today is Palm Sunday, and although the road to the cross for Jesus doesn't start today, it truly gets intensified. It truly becomes more purposeful, and we want to celebrate Jesus today. And we realize that today, what everyone thought was going to happen didn't really turn out. Many thought that their king was coming and they were going to crown him king, but that didn't turn out that way. Many thought this was going to be the road to eliminate that threat once and for all, and that didn't happen. And so this morning, I want us to remember that the cross of Jesus Christ, that which Jesus is heading towards this week, it isn't death, it's actually a bridge to life. And so this morning as we worship, I would challenge you to begin to frame your mind that we serve a living God. And this week, this holy week, is a week where we prepare our hearts, not for death, but for life and resurrection. Before we begin to worship, I want to remind you of a couple of things. This coming Friday, Good Friday, we're going to have an online Good Friday service. We're going to have communion. And so we want to invite you at 7 p.m. On our Zoom account, and we can give you the information for that. But on our Zoom account, we're going to have an online communion service, Good Friday service. And so we're going to ask you to gather some crackers or some bread and some juice and join me at 7 p.m. for an online Good Friday service where we can celebrate the Lord's Supper together. Secondly, this coming Sunday, a week from today, is Easter, and we want to have Easter greetings from all of you. Could you just take 10 to 20 seconds and record an Easter greeting from your family to our faith family? You can just share your names and talk about how NCC is so special to you this Easter, and then give us an Easter greeting. There'll be a link on our website that you can upload those videos. And so go ahead and do that. And if you could do that as early in the week as possible, that would be awesome. We'd love to see you. We'd love to hear from you. And finally, we want to continue to remind you to support the Lord's work here at Northway. There's four ways you can give. You can give through the mail. You can give online through our website, mynorthway.church. There's a mobile way to give now. You can call 570-919 text 570-919-1680, and you can text to give any amount. And then finally, you can work with your bank and have direct bill pay to Northway. And so we're grateful. God has been blessing Northway over the last couple of weeks financially. And so continue to be faithful, continue to serve the Lord and worship the Lord in that way. And then finally, I want to just keep reminding you that we're praying for you. On our website is a button that you can click on and submit prayer requests. We would love to pray for you every Monday night at 7 p.m. on Zoom. We're having a prayer meeting, a virtual prayer meeting, and it is a powerful time of prayer. And so please submit those prayer requests so that we can be praying for you this week. So we're going to now take a moment, and we're going to worship the Lord through song. And so prepare your hearts and sing together as a family to the Lord this morning.
In the darkness we were waiting, without hope and without light, till from heaven you came right. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word. From a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. to reveal the kingdom coming and to reconcile the lost, to redeem the whole creation. You did not despise the cross, for even in your suffering you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation. Jesus, for our sake you died. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. And the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who'd come to the Father all restored. And the Church of Christ was born, and the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not faint. By his blood and in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings. Praise forever to the King. All of creation, all of the earth, make straight a highway, a path for the Lord. Jesus is coming soon. Call back the sin, wake up the saint, let every nation shout of your fame. Jesus is coming soon. Like the bride waiting for her groom, will be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing, even so come. Lord Jesus, come. Even so, come. Lord Jesus, come. There will be justice, all will be new. Your name forever, faithful and true. Jesus is coming soon. Like the bride waiting for her groom, will be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we come, Lord Jesus, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. So we wait for you. God, we wait your coming soon. So we wait for you. God, we wait your coming soon. Like a bride
God, we are waiting. We're waiting for you to come. Lord, in this day, in this time, we're waiting for you to come again. But God, in this week of remembrance, we are anticipating. We're anticipating the remembering of your coming, not as one who lived and who died, but we are celebrating one who lived and died and was resurrected. One who not only lived and died and was resurrected, but through that resurrection offers life to all. And so God, in this hour, on this day, in this particular season of our lives, I pray, God, that you would just rain down hope and peace and joy, even in the living rooms at this very moment, Lord. I pray that there is a peace. I pray, Lord, that there is a hope and a joy that transcends the environment that we're in, the culture that has been created around us. Lord, let us be the people that are hopeful and joyful and peaceful today. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, good morning again. We are going to be in John chapter 6 today. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and join me there. One of the things about the Gospel of John and one of the four Gospels was we see that John has a different emphasis. And as John gives his account of Jesus' life, his emphasis, the things that he spends time on are pretty interesting and maybe not as easily seen as we just kind of read through the Bible. But I want you to see, is especially in chapter 6 of John, that Jesus is walking and he's drawing this great crowd. People had seen all the cool things that he had done. And so he gets to this one place where there's kind of a grassy field, and he has everyone kind of standing there, and the disciples ask this kind of interesting question. Actually, it's Jesus that asked the question. That, how are we going to feed all of these people? There's all these people here. How are we going to feed them? And the disciples quickly respond back, listen, to feed all these people would be so expensive. How could we ever do that? And there was a disciple that noticed that there was a young boy with a bag lunch. And he gives this bag lunch to Jesus. And we have this crazy miracle that with one bag lunch, it says that 5,000 men were fed, and not including the women and children. But one of the things I want you to realize about this is that John is very quick in talking about this miracle. He says in verse 11 of John chapter 6, he says, Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. And he did the same with the fish. That's it. Is that all you got, John? We're feeding 15,000, maybe 20,000 people, and you spend two verses on it. And then he goes on, and Jesus then lets the disciples go away. And that evening, they get on a boat, and they're sailing, rowing across the Sea of Galilee. And it's night, and a storm comes up, and they're nervous. And all of a sudden, they see Jesus coming, walking on the water. I mean, another crazy miracle. But John really only spends a couple of words talking about this. He says in John chapter 6, verse 19, when they had rowed 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. And so let me get this straight. Jesus spends 2 verses on feeding 5,000 men. He spends 3 verses on him walking on the water, Jesus walking on the water. But the next thing in line, he spends 37 verses, the next portion of Scripture, 37 verses spent on who Jesus says that he is. And so here's what I have pulled from this. If you're spend 2 verses on the miracle of feeding the 5,000, 3 verses on walking on the water, and 37 verses on talking about who Jesus is, I'm reminded that Jesus did not come to be a wonder worker. He didn't come just to be a miracle giver. He was the true Son of God who came to save mankind from their sin. And that's what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And so if we follow this story, the previous day, so Jesus feeds 5,000. That night he walks on the water. The next morning, they're on the west side of the Sea of Galilee at the northern point. And the crowds are looking for the man. Maybe more specifically, they're looking for the chef. They're looking for the guy that fed them yesterday. And Jesus begins a conversation with them that I actually think is very applicable to today. Jesus asks them, "Why are you looking for me?" See, what's happening is Jesus is reading their hearts while he's listening to their words, and he wants to confront their motives for asking for him. Why are you asking for me? And I think in a time like we're in right now, I think no one would deny that many more people are asking for God. They're asking for something, and Jesus was asking these people that day, and maybe he's asking us today, why are you asking for me? Why are you asking for me? And he realizes that it was a very shallow, narrow, physical perspective. And what Jesus wants to do is that he wants to expand and deepen their perspective to the spiritual. So they wouldn't be bound by the product or wanting something produced. but they would have their eyes lifted up to the person and the promise of Jesus. Not to the temporal, what can you do for me now? What did you do for me yesterday? But who are you and what is your promise? An eternal perspective. Because he realizes what maybe you and I realize is that if you have a stray dog that comes by, that stray dog is only going to stay as long as you keep feeding it. It has no loyalty to you. It has no love for you. It simply is there because you can give it something. And as soon as you stop feeding it, it's going to leave. And Jesus realizes that about human nature. And so he knows that if he just keeps feeding people and that's all that he gives them, they then will only come for what they can get and not for who he is. And so Jesus wants them to seek him for who he is, not for what he can do for him or them. God, can you make me better? Can you pay my bills? Can you be that divine teddy bear for me? Well, what can you do for me, God? I'm really needing you now. But Jesus is saying, listen, I want you to focus on the deeper things as well as the practical, as well as the temporal. There are deeper issues. So he asked them, so what do you think the purpose of those miracles yesterday was? Those miracles weren't political. They were redemptive. They weren't physical. They were spiritual. They weren't meant to satisfy the body. I don't want to be a dietitian. I want to be your physician. And he says in verse 27, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. And so what Jesus is saying to them is that you're looking for me, but don't look for me because I can give you something temporal, because I have come to give you something eternal, something that is food not for the here and now, but food for the then and later. That you won't be specifically focusing on the superficial desires and the comfort, the provisional, but that you'll understand the true spiritual significance of Jesus' person and his mission. It's an everlasting mission. That we won't pursue God in this season simply because it's this season and it's a little bit tougher, but we'll pursue God because we are devoted long beyond this crisis. Now, the people that Jesus was talking to, they were confused, and maybe some of us are still confused. They wanted to know, Jesus, you're talking about this food. Well, what do we need to do to get that food? Well, what do I need to do? How do I have to fill out the application? Well, what do I need to do? What do I need to be? And how can I be? Where do I need to show up? What line do I have to get into in order to get what you're offering? And Jesus says in verse 29, the work of God is this. Here's what you need to do. To believe in the one he has sent. We need to believe in the one who he has sent. And Jesus says it in Matthew. If I could just jump back to Matthew chapter 6. Look at these words in Matthew chapter 6. Do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father, listen to this. Do you believe this today, church? Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. God knows your needs today. He's aware of you. He sees you. But what he's asking of you is not to worry about those temporal. But he says in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be given to you as well. conversation between Jesus and these people that had gathered continues. And as you move through, they begin to say, okay, well, if you want us to believe you, we need to see another sign. Another sign? Like, you have, like, amnesia from yesterday? We had fed all these people. I walked on the water. How could you want another sign? And see, what we see here is that these folks are spiritually blind. And they're stumbling around in their faulty senses. They're being led by their nose or led by their stomach or led by all of these faulty senses that were leading them astray. And they were spiritually blind. And the reason why they're spiritually blind is because they remember their forefathers. They remember their ancestors and how God dealt with them. See, what happened when the Israelites, God's people, God's chosen people, the ancestors, to the people that Jesus is talking to, that they remember that God provided for the ancestors manna. And for 40 years, he fed them every day, gave them a sign of his presence every single day. And so they're saying, hey, listen, if you want us to believe you like we believed Moses, you got to do more than just feed us one time. We remember when the bitter water was talked about being turned fresh. We remember when manna, like kind of divine cornflakes, were given every single morning and meat every single night. And we heard, we know our Bible, that the Messiah, when he comes, he's going to bring manna again. And so if you truly are the Messiah, where's the bread? Give us more. Jesus' response is clarity and truth in the midst of their uncertainty. In verses 32 and 33, Jesus begins to show them that that bread, that manna didn't come from Moses. It came from God. And that manna wasn't bread from heaven. It was simply physical nourishment. It was a shadow of what God wanted to ultimately do. That bread, that manna couldn't preserve their life. It couldn't perpetuate their physical life. It only perpetuated their physical life. It was never going to give them true life. And what he's saying now is, listen, this true bread comes down from heaven and will give eternal life. It's not limited to and isolated to a certain group of people. It's for everybody. These people still didn't understand. They said, okay, fine, just give us that bread. Whatever you, I don't even understand what you're saying, but we just want that bread. And it's at this point, and maybe you're at the same point that these people were. Okay, enough. This is getting confusing. And so Jesus, just like I in this moment, realized that, oh, we kind of been, this has been meandering. This conversation is meandering. Why there's all this conversation back and forth, back and forth. And Jesus says, listen, I've tried to explain it in a way that you would understand it. I'm just going to break it down really simple now. And in verse 35, he says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Without me, you will not live. Without me, without this bread, life will not continue, because real life is beyond the physical. It's not simply about every so many hours filling up your physical stomach. The life that I'm providing is going to come through my death and my resurrection. Because here is the issue. And it was the issue back then, and it's the issue today, my friends. Our deepest needs are spiritual, not physical. And they're only met through a relationship with God in and through Jesus Christ. We all want to have the staple foods in our cupboards and in our pantries now. We want to make sure that we're stocked up. And that's true spiritually as well. We need to know what we have spiritually. Do we have that bread that will never be consumed to the point of empty? That we can feed on the Word of God. We can feed on Jesus Christ, and it's never going to become empty. See, human hunger ends when you know God in Christ. Not human hunger in the sense of physical hunger, but our human hungers. The desire for always chasing after the next thing. Trying to get fulfillment out of this activity or that relationship. All of that gets fulfilled in a relationship with God. See, the restless soul is at rest. The hurting heart is healed. The endless pursuit is arrived. To know Jesus, not as some distant superhero or some historical figure in a book, but to know the one true God who sent his son, Jesus Christ, the one who is accessible and available and reliable. Isn't that what we really want, friends, right now? We want a God who's accessible to us. We know how to get to him. And we want a God who's available. It's not too busy for us. We don't have to wait in line to hear from him. And we want a God who's reliable, that isn't going to fall apart when things get tough and when we're falling apart. And friends, that is who Jesus is. He's accessible. He's available. And he's reliable. Jesus goes on to explain about this bread, and when we receive it, when we partake of this bread of life, this relationship with Jesus, he says in verses 37, 38, 39, and 40, he says, listen, when you receive this bread, when you take this bread in, you are safely forgiven from your sins. You're safely in the Father's family. You're safely in his will, and you are safely delivered on that final day. Read it, 36 through 40, John chapter 6. It's almost like this, that when we come and we partake of this relationship with Jesus Christ, we enter into his house and we wipe our feet on that welcome mat. We wipe our sin away and he welcomes us in. That everything that hinders us, everything that distracts us, everything that prevents us from having the peace and the joy and the hope we prayed about earlier, we can wipe that away and we can enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the promise of all who partake and participate in the bread of life. Now, in verse 36, we see that it can be refused, that you can refuse this bread. I don't know if you can relate well with these people that Jesus is talking to, but they are totally frustrated at this point. They are not convinced. They have gone from being hungry and angry. Now they're just hangry. Like, they are just like, listen, stop giving us all this garbage about Jesus being, you being coming down from heaven and satisfying us. We just want to have breakfast. I mean, we know your father. We know your parents. You can't possibly be the one that you're talking about. And Jesus says to them in verses 43 and 44, stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. See, what Jesus is saying, listen, quit it. Quit all the excuses. Quit all the grumbling. Everything you need in order to believe has been given to you. But you're only going to come into this relationship. You're only going to partake of this bread of life if the Father draws you. And that's true for you today. You're only going to be able to be drawn to the Father if he's moving in your life. Maybe it's through a situation. Maybe it's a conversation. Maybe it's just a feeling on the inside that you feel like God is calling you to something new. He's calling you to not simply just be an attender of church. Oh, I just can't wait till I can go back to church. No, he's calling you to something like devotion. He's calling you to be more devoted. It doesn't matter where you meet or who you're talking to or what day of the week it is. It's not about Sunday at 1684 Mile Drive. It's about your life. It overtakes who you are. It is who you are. It doesn't matter where you are or what day of the week it is. You want to be a follower of God. And in verses 48 through 50, Jesus states it again. He says, I am the bread of life. I'm accessible. I'm available. And I'm reliable. But as Jesus explains to the people that he's talking to, I need to explain to you that the choice is ours. The question is, do we have an appetite for the things of God? Do we have an appetite? Do we hunger? Do we thirst? Do we desire a relationship with God through Jesus Christ? If we have that appetite, then the question remains, have we applied the bread to our life? Maybe just more specifically and more appropriately, have we received this bread? Have we accepted this bread? Have we digested that which has been done for us? As we believe that Jesus Christ came that first Christmas, and we realize that he lived these 30 to 33 years, and then he comes to this point, which we're in that point right now, where he comes to this cross and he dies on the cross, and we believe on Easter he's resurrected. But the question is that we can think that, we can know that, we can have it all in our heads, but if we don't have it in our hearts, if we don't believe it as true, it has no value in our life. This is true for many of us. Many of us have examined Jesus for many years. Many of us have studied about him. Many of us have smelled or read up on him. Many of us have knowledge about him. Many of us know every ingredient, if you will, in the gospel. We've speculated about it. We've argued about it. We've even volunteered around it. But it is useless unless we eat it. Digest, unless we receive it into our life. There's no doubt that Christ is beautiful and attractive and appealing, but until we humble ourselves and receive him as our Lord and our Savior, as our leader and our rescuer, we will be without spiritual life that he gives. We'll be still hungering for the truth. We'll still be hungering for real life. We'll be hungering for love. We'll be hungering and dissatisfied in all things because he is the one that truly satisfies. Now, maybe you're sitting in your living room or you have someone in your life who is a follower of Jesus. And maybe you've just watched them eat for many years. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe your spouse is a follower of Jesus. The truth is that you will never get the value of Jesus by watching someone else eat. You will never receive the spiritual nutrients by watching someone else eat. Church, we need to hear it, believe it, and partake in it. And so this week I challenge you that you would take time this week and you would ask God to show you a relationship with him. That you would take time to understand what it means that on Friday he goes to a cross. And on that cross, he dies, and he simply just didn't die for himself or die because he was guilty or die because he was a bad person, or he died that we might live. He died that we would be forgiven of our sins. That he was sacrificed for our sins. The real fancy theological term for this is substitutionary atonement. And what that means is that we deserve to die. We were the ones that were guilty and should have been punished for the things that we've done wrong. And through the cross of Jesus Christ, he was our substitute. He took our place. And by taking our place, he paid for something that we owed. He atoned for something that we were guilty of. And in that moment, when he dies on the cross for you and for me, he saved me. He rescued me. Not just for here and now, but he rescued me so that I can live eternally. I want everyone that is watching this video, every person in every house, to be sure that you are under Jesus Christ's love and sacrifice and shed blood. I want you to know for sure this Easter that Jesus Christ died for you. But the Bible tells us that everyone has sinned. Everyone has messed up. The Bible is very clear that those who messed up, those who sinned, those who have dark spots in their life, the wages of those sins, the cost, the payment for those sins is death. And so if we stay in our sin, if we stay in our mistakes and our failures, the payment for that is that we die. But the rest of that verse says that the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And so if we are able to surrender ourselves and confess our sins and say, yes, I have sinned and fallen short of God's perfection, and I receive today, I accept Jesus Christ's death on the cross as forgiveness for my sins, we believe you're forgiven today. And that's what makes Easter so amazing. We're not just forgiven. We're not just left off the hook. We're just not being punished for the things that we've done wrong. We don't just get our record expunged. He says, listen, no, I'm going to do better than that. Through the resurrection of my son Jesus, I'm going to allow you to live for eternity in heaven with me. So today, can I pray with you? And I want you, as we close our time together, to pray together. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to pray for a moment and then give you, as a family, opportunity to pray, and then I'll close us in prayer. Father, I thank you in Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name, for your gift of life to me and to my family. Thank you for being the bread of life. That we don't have to remain in our sin. We don't have to remain in our guilt and our shame. But through your coming and our receiving, we can be forgiven today. Father, I celebrate my forgiveness. I celebrate the opportunity to live eternally with you. And I pray that each person that is now watching this live and those who will watch it later, I pray that they would know the truth of not only the forgiveness of sins, but the gift of life eternal with you. That we shall not die twice. We will die physically one day, but we do not ever have to die spiritually. Friends, I just pray you just take a minute and pray as a family. Pray out loud. Allow your family to hear you pray today about your relationship with Jesus, your thankfulness about what Jesus has done in your life. And maybe you're here and you have never prayed and asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. I encourage every family, every person that hears my voice, to pray this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I am sorry for what I have done wrong. I recognize I have sinned. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Please come into my life. Make me new. Give me the opportunity to live by the power of your Holy Spirit today and always. Take a minute and pray as a family. Amen. 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 You know, friends, we want to make sure and we want to celebrate with you. We want to stand with you. Obviously, we're distant physically, but I want to be able to pray for you. And so if you and your family prayed that sorry, thank you, please prayer with me today, would you reach out either on Facebook Messenger or an email to me or a text message to my number? I would love to know. All of those who prayed with me today. I would love to for you to be in contact with me if you've watched this message and has blessed you. Would you share this message with someone? Would you share this link, allowing them to hear the word of the Lord from today? We are excited about what God is doing. I sense that He is continuing to move in a mighty way through Northway Community Church Ministry. And we ask now that you would do your part and share what you know with others. I'm grateful for you, and I'm thankful that God has brought us together, even with this distance. So I look forward to see you Monday night for prayer meeting, Wednesday for Bible study, and then Friday. Make sure, invite someone to the Friday, Good Friday communion service, and then obviously next Sunday back here at 10 a.m. for Easter Sunday. God bless you guys, and have a great week.